So David is about 70 years old at this point. He has surpassed the days of giant slaying, if you will. And it says he's declining in his strength. And so they understand David's love language, right, as they say. What would inspire him to get out of bed and move about? And so they said, I know what we'll do. We'll find a young girl sitting in there, a young woman. And so they found this young lady. Her name is Abishag, the Shunammite. And they send her in there to encourage him. And David kind of, I could just, you know, putting myself there in that room, he just kind of giggles and says, guys, that's, we'll pass that too. Just let me rest. You know, and really at that stage of his life, they're just looking for something. You know, we get to this point in our lives where we're looking and we're trying, what can we do to help them? What can we do to just inspire them and encourage them? And that's what they came up with. And she became his maid, his servant. He didn't fall in love and didn't get romantic, but even though that's what they had in mind. But she took care of him and stayed there. Verse 4, the damsel was very fair, and she cherished the king, and she ministered to him, but the king knew her not. I mean, he didn't try anything. And verse number 5, Adoniah, the son of Haggith, now this is the son of David, and that Haggith being his one of his wives, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Right? Dad's at the point now, he can't do it. Somebody's got to do it. And really, you know, we have to step back because and really think about what's going on. It's so important to get beyond just the words that we're reading. What happens when you have a leader who can't function? Who can't lead, who can't inspire, who can't direct. Are you familiar with that at all? So, but honestly, what happens though? What happens is somebody steps in either behind the scenes or out front and says, this is what we're going to do. I remember when I went to the church at Orlando, one of the questions that was posed to me, the deacon said, if we call you, are you going to pastor the church? And what he was getting at was, are you going to lead? Are you going to do it? Or are you going to let other people run you? Right now, there's a church that's seeking a pastor, and they called for a recommendation and gave them a couple of names, but you know, one of the things that somebody said is, well, there's one person that runs that church, you know, and so they have that idea, and it's not a member of the church. It's somebody from the outside saying, you know, if anybody goes there, they're going to have to deal with that person because that's the real boss. And I say that to say this, that's what happens. You have a pastor and the pastor's not leading, somebody's got to step up and lead. It leaves a vacuum. Whether that's a company or a family, right? Even in the family, somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to make decisions, and you know, put their foot down sometimes. Now, somebody's got to have the vision, got to bring the vision and lead the effort. And David's not doing that. That's the point. David's not doing it. And so it leaves a vacuum. And while we can judge Adoniah for what he did, and harshly, and people do and did, the truth is somebody needed to step up. Because David was in no hurry to name a successor. Though he had already said Solomon's going to take over. But he never made it official. And so we're at that point now. Adoniah says, well, I'll do it. I'm going to step in and take over. And he prepared him chariots, we're still in verse 5, and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. And his father David had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Right? This is an effort that he, you know, it built up. And David never put a stop to it. David never sent somebody and said, hey, you tell him that's enough of that. So Adonijah says, well, Dad, didn't, you know, they didn't stop. It didn't tell me I couldn't. How many of us ever heard that? You didn't say I couldn't. And so Adonijah continues in this effort, and he's got him an entourage parading through the country like he's the king. And it says he was also a very goodly man. He was pretty. Give me just a second. Let me change these.
I know that the sound still gets out without this microphone, but it's much better with this one than it is with the pulpit. So
Adonijah continues his effort. Verse number 7, he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. What might they have done instead? Gone to the king and said, what do you want us to do? But usually, in the absence of leadership, the rumbling is, you know, it rumbles out. Adonijah was not the only one feeling the vacuum. Adonijah was not the only one sensing a lack of leadership. And so Joab and Abiathar are probably also frustrated. And because they're frustrated, when Adonijah says, hey, I'll step up, they said, finally somebody stepped in. Instead of going to the king and saying, David, what would you want us to do? What can we do? How can we help you? Now, all of this stuff that I'm talking about is extra biblical. It's subjective. You don't see that in there. But just looking at the circumstances, that's what's probably happening. People talk about men being the leaders of the home, the head of the home, the priest of the home. But I got news for you, husband. If you don't do it, somebody's going to. Somebody's got to lead. Yeah, hopefully it's the wife, right? Somebody is. But somebody's going to step up. It's going to fall apart without leadership. Verse 8, Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Re, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So it wasn't a complete defection. I mean, we've seen this before, right? Absalom stepped, he said, I'll be king. And he did the same thing. He went out and he got his following. And then as they start moving toward Jerusalem with their coup, David left. Well, this time David's in no shape to leave and go out into the wilderness. And so it's not a hostile takeover so much. They're just kind of letting it happen. Yes. Yes. Right. I had an aunt. I mean, it's a great question. And so the question is for those online. Since Solomon was going to build the temple and was the obvious successor to the throne, why would Adonijah get the idea that he could be the successor instead of Solomon? And the reason is because there was no official announcement. There was discussion. It was plain. My aunt, I won't call her name. Nobody knows her, but I just won't call her name. But every time somebody would come to her house and she was at this end of her life, she would say, do you like that table? You can have that table. Do you like that chest over there? You can have that chest. Do you like my car? You can have my car. And then the next person would come by and she would say, you like that table? You can have that table. And so when it came, when she passed, you know, everybody said, well, she gave me that table. But there was nothing official. And so either you knew her personality and you just said, look, she did this. And so let those who were in the position make the decision. But David had not anointed, and Nathan had not anointed Solomon king, where they could have been co-regents. I mean, David was still king, but Solomon could be king also. And so, you know, you really have to go back to not just the absence of leadership or the vacuum or void of leadership, but the pride. I mean, what kind of pride does it take to not at least go to dad and say, hey, dad, don't you think you should name a successor? I mean, you think so? Right? Like somebody needs to be king, dad? I mean, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you at least do that if it wasn't just about ego and power and, you know? He left the people closest to the king out of his invitation. And so he was looking for a takeover. Even with everything that he knew about, you know, official or unofficial, he acted improperly. And, I mean, here when he throws this big barbecue and he invites everybody except the closest people, he knew he was doing wrong. But he thought he'd get away with it. Isn't that what everybody does? When we're doing wrong, we think we can get away with it. I don't, y'all ever watch those shows on TV, the American Greed? It's incredible the stuff that people do. And they get away with it for a long time. And they wouldn't do it if they didn't think they'd get away with it. And that's exactly how it is with sin, right? We think, oh, well, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt me. Nobody ever find out. Think we can get away with it. Until we don't. And so Adonijah, you know, he's taking a chance. What's at stake? He could be king of Israel. But it's a great point. I mean, it wasn't that it was a secret, but it was not yet official. I'll be careful. I'll stay out of that. Well, I'll say it this way, and don't read too much into it, but you understand. It's like two people running for office. And one of them is, you know, winning by, you know, leaps and bounds, and the other one stays in anyway. You know why? Because in the back of their mind, there's a chance. And I've said that about the current process is there's no reason to bow out because anything can happen in the next 9 months. And if I was on the ticket, I'd keep my name on that ticket and just ride it out. Lose every competition. Because if something changes at the very last moment, then you're in. And I think that's where Adonijah was. Adonijah's like, well, he's not king yet. I know there's been talk and I know there's a plan, but he's not king yet. And so I'll go ahead and put my name in there and build a following. And so that's what he did. I mean, he's built a following. Verse 10, Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Who's Nathan? The prophet. What's his phrase that he's known for? Thou art the man. That's what he's known for, right? He's the prophet. But he doesn't go to the king. He goes to his wife, Solomon's mom, Bathsheba. And say, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David, our Lord, knoweth it not. Verse 12, now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me? He shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? And Nathan says, and while you're talking to him, I'm going to come in too. We'll just work it out that way. It just happened to be that way. While thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. So Bathsheba did that. Verse 15, Bathsheba went into the king to the chamber. The king was very old. Abishag, the Shunammite, ministered to the king. Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king, and the king said, what wouldest thou? She said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by... So she says what Nathan told her to say. You said Solomon's going to be king. Adonijah's over there being king. And talks about the big feast that he's having. Verse 20, and thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. David, this is your decision. And the whole country's waiting for you to say something. Remember, you hadn't said anything against Adonijah. So he's just continuing to do it until somebody stops him. You're the only one who can. Everybody's looking to you. Verse 21, otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet just happened to walk in. He just walked in. And they told the king, saying, Nathan, behold, Nathan the prophet. And so he came in, and, you know, same thing. And he says, by the way, we weren't invited. Zadok, Benaiah, I mean, we weren't invited to go. The mighty men, they weren't invited to go. Solomon wasn't invited to go. There's a big feast to celebrate a new king, but he didn't invite your people. Verse 27, and this is the wisdom of Nathan. All right, watch his phrasing here. We can learn so much if we just pay attention to the way, to the approach. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it to thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Is this something you did? I mean, if it's something you did, there's no argument. But if it's not what you did, then we need to do something. And so he's not coming in to scold David. He's just coming in to say, I just didn't know if you did this. Now, that's so wise. Verse 28, and King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. She came to the king's presence, stood before the king. The king sware and said, as the Lord liveth that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me. He shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. And Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground, to the earth, did reverence to the king, and said, let my lord the king David live forever. King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said to them, take with you the servants of your lord, cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Now it's official. That's the whole point. This is where we've been trying to get. But it took something to get him there. He's still the king. He still has the authority. He still has the ability. But it just took an event to provoke it. So they did that. Verse 39, Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. They blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy. so that the earth rent with the sound of them. I mean, y'all recognize that, right? Sitting at a red light in Tallahassee, boom, 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 boom. Y'all didn't know they had that. Here it is in the Bible. Right? I mean, it's such a celebration. It's so loud and people are jumping up and down. They're so excited. Verse 41, Adonai and all the guests that were with him heard it as they made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is the noise of the city being in an uproar?" While he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, remember, Abiathar is there. Adonai said to him, "Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings." Oh, yeah, it's great news. Jonathan answered and said to Adonai, "Verily, our Lord King David has made Solomon king." Boy, that's quite a way to finish a party, isn't it? "The king has sent with him Zadok the priest," verse 44, "Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule." It's official. He's got the presidential limo. Verse 45, "Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. They are come up from thence rejoicing so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. Also, thus said the king, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has given one to sit on my throne. This day mine eyes even seeing it." It's quite, hey, it's done. It's official. Verse 49. "And all the guests that were with Adonai were afraid, rose up and went every man his way." What does that remind you of in the Bible? Anything else? Okay, when Jesus was arrested, they were gone. Any others? The prodigal son. When the money ran out, the friends ran out. These guys all positioned themselves with Adonai. And you know, and let's be fair, some of them may not have known that there was conspiracy at play. They may not have realized that this was not an official endorsement of King David. They may not have known that. They just, you know, hey, you know, Adonai is king and he's having a party. Well, let's go. And so they all gathered. So, you know, there may have been some in that number that weren't part of the conspiracy to overthrow the king. Verse 50, "And Adonai feared because of Solomon, he arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar." Now remember, we're not talking about the ark, we're talking about the altar. And they, you know, on the corners of the table, they had horns. And he grabbed onto one, and he, you know, that whole idea of a sanctuary city of the Old Testament. They had sanctuary cities, and you could do something, and you'd run there, and they couldn't arrest you. You could at least get a trial. And now he's, and the idea today that, you know, if somebody does something wrong, they think they can run into a church and then they can't get arrested because they're inside a church. You know, somehow there's some kind of sanctuary rule. And so that's the idea here. Adonai runs, he hangs on, and nobody will get me here. He must not have read the rest of the story, huh? "It was told Solomon," verse 51, "Adonai fears the king. He has caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me that he will not slay his servant with a sword." Verse 52, "Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent. They brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. That's big. You know, yesterday he thought he was king. Now he's bowing before his brother, who is king. And Solomon said, go to the house. Chapter 2, David speaks to Solomon. Now it says, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. That's a great verse, isn't it? Be strong and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Remember, again, we go back to Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, right? Joshua. It's the reverberation. You know, this is the blessing as we're passing the torch or passing the crown, if you will. And David says, if you want to do well in life, live by God's book. Live by his way. I mean, it's real simple. It's not hard. If we would understand that this is the principle of life. The question was posed, a survey was done, and they asked, do you have to have faith in God to be a moral person? Y'all hear about that survey? Do you have to have faith to be moral? Well, I mean, because think about it. If God hadn't said, thou shalt not kill, what right do you have to tell me not to do something? So the order came from God. It's where law was born. He's the one that set right and wrong. And of course, there are a lot of people who say, oh, sure, you could be moral without faith in God, without belief in a God, because they're justifying their stand. But it's God's law. You know, so the question is not, can you be moral without faith in God? The question is, what is moral without God? Because I think that's where we're going to have a difference, is what we consider to be moral and what they consider to be moral. It's two different things. Right? Well, you know, and that's the thing. When I would talk to people a lot of times about salvation, their answer is, well, I've never killed anybody. That's the line. Do everything else as long as I don't kill them. And you can do a lot of harm to people without killing them. And so he says, if you want to prosper, stay with God. Stick with God. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me. Verse 4. If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel, if they'll do right. What happened? All right, we get beyond Solomon and his sons. It went squirrely. And by the way, Solomon made a lot of mistakes himself. And then David brings up a few things because... Well, let me just pose the question to you. There were three people that he named as not being innocent, if you will. Joab being one of them. Of course, Abiathar and Shimei. Why did David, in his final moments, in his final days, say to Solomon, these three men you got to deal with? Why did he do that? Yeah, because as long as you let them stay, they're going to continue to cause trouble. And that's the reason that God, when when he instructed Israel with the, when they took the land, he said, eliminate all of these other groups. Because as long as you leave them, they're going to be a thorn in your side. It's going to keep coming back. You know, we've got to eliminate. We ask God's forgiveness and we repent of our sin. We've got to eliminate all of it. Because as long as we leave a little hint, long as we leave a bridge back, we're going to have trouble. He says, you got to do something about Joab. And then he says in verse 7, but show kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. Y'all remember him? He's that really old guy that went with David. And David says, oh, come back. Come live with me. He says, I'm too old for that. He says, no, you could take my sons and you could be a blessing to them. But he said, I'm going home. I want to go home and die. And then, of course, Shimei, remember him? What did he do? He followed David as David was, you know, defeated, leaving Jerusalem and going into exile. And Shimei cussed him and threw rocks and kicked dust. David says, you're going to have to deal with him. And it says then in verse 10, so David died. He slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. By the way, if you go to Jerusalem, and I've probably told you this, there's a place you can go and there's a coffin and it's draped with the Israeli flag or the Star of David. And they say that is, you know, David is in that coffin. I don't know. But you can go there, and they do. I mean, it's a part of the tour. You go, and you see, okay, that's David's coffin. And they still think very highly of King David. And then Solomon sat upon the throne, verse 12. And then we have Adoniah. Adoniah's trouble, and we're kind of winding down, so I'll just tell you the story. Adoniah goes to Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba is Solomon's mom, not Adoniah's mom. And he says, can you do me a favor? And she says, what do you want? He says, I want that little maid that was taking care of King David. I want Abishag to be my wife. She says, well, I'm going to ask. So she goes to Solomon. And why would he want Abishag? I mean, do you have any theories on that? I mean, it's a power thing, isn't it? It's to prove a point. Even though David was never with Abishag, it was the point that that was the reason she was there, was for David. And so Adoniah wants her. And Bathsheba says, you know, I mean, think about it, wives. Somebody wants to take the woman that somebody else brought in and take care of your husband. Bathsheba's like, you can have her, right? Take her out of here. But when Bathsheba goes to Solomon, Solomon gets irate because he sees it's a power play. Remember when Absalom took the throne when David left, one of the first things he did was take those concubines, those 10 women of the king, and publicly display that they were his women. And so that's what this was. It was a power play. Verse 22, King Solomon answered and said to his mother, why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adoniah? Ask for him the kingdom also. He's my elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. And King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adoniah have not spoken this word against his own life. And so what happened? He said, Adoniah shall be put to death this day. And that's exactly what happened. Abiathar the priest, Solomon ran him out of town. He told him, go away. Well, isn't that what he told Adoniah? Adoniah hung onto the horns, and Solomon says, go home, get out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. And then Joab, tidings came to Joab, verse 28, for Joab had turned after Adonijah. Though he turned not after Absalom, remember, he was the defender of David at that point, and killed Absalom, by the way. Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. It was told King Solomon that Joab was fled to the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. He's holding on to the horns. Remember that old idea of sanctuary? Solomon says, that's not a rule. He said, Benaniah, go execute him right now where he is. And that was it. Solomon had no patience for that. And so that's exactly what they did. Verse 34, Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him. He was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And then there's Shimei. Same thing. So these ones who David named to Solomon and said, "You son, if you don't get rid of them, they're going to be a problem." Right? This shadow government, they're the ones that supported Adonijah being king while there was still a king and while there was a named successor. Even though it wasn't official, he wasn't anointed. But they were the ones behind that conspiracy, part of that conspiracy. David said, "You got to get rid of them." So that's what Solomon did. Anyway, what you got? Anything? No questions? Let's take a break.